the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers in Christ, this reading today is the last installment of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We've been hearing all these different parts from the Sermon on the Mount this month. It started with those great Beatitudes, blessed are statements of Jesus, where Jesus is lifting up those who are not blessed, seemingly, in the world's eyes. Jesus is telling his disciples, us, to be salt and light for the world in the Sermon on the Mount. We talked last week a difficult text about anger and about divorce. And always in Jesus' sermon is a message to care for the poor, the least of these. And now, this last, what are called of the antitheses. Lots of times in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is saying, you've heard it said this way, but I say to you this. And he's not abolishing the law, he's fulfilling the law. So the one we have two antitheses for today. It's, you've heard it said before, an eye for an eye. That's in Leviticus. An eye for an eye, but I say to you something different. Do not resist. Or the better word for that would be retaliate. Do not retaliate against an evildoer. You've heard it said before, love your friend and hate your enemy. Also from the scripture, the Holy Scripture, Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who attack you, who persecute you. This, frankly, to our ears here, especially in this part of the world, in this part of the country, in San Diego. This is a Navy town. This is a town of Marines. This throws a wrench into our whole military-industrial complex, which is set up to defend ourselves from every enemy, foreign and domestic. Many of us wouldn't be here today if the enemy, either foreign or domestic, wasn't targeted and destroyed. Right? And how, Jesus, am I supposed to love the same person that I'm pointing a gun at? That I'm trying to keep others safe from? How am I supposed to love my enemy? Sometime, and now is not the time to do it, but sometime I would really love to sit and hear how those of you, especially who are in the military or were in the military, families of those in the military, how do you wrestle with these texts? How do you hear this word from Jesus? How are you struggling with it? Because I certainly am struggling with this passage. How can we go into combat and love our enemies? Did Jesus just not get it? Was he just some hippie dreamer? He certainly lived in a time, we know, where there was strong military presence around as there is today. He was probably preaching the Sermon on the Mount with Roman centurions, Roman soldiers in the distance, maybe even listening to his sermon. I struggle with this, and I wonder how you're struggling with this too, because like other parts of the Sermon on the Mount, this Christ-following stuff isn't easy. If we're going to follow Jesus, we might be in some trouble in many ways. This question of loving our global enemies is a huge one, and we can certainly discuss and continue to pray about this. And I think that those are exactly the ones, the enemies Jesus was talking about, those global enemies, like the kids said, people who want to kill us, people who don't like us, people who want to see us hurt. I also suspect we have more enemies, though, than just the global enemies, the global terrorists or certain North Koreans we hear about in the news, or Al-Qaeda, or all our other suspected enemies. I think this is exactly the wrench Jesus was throwing, telling us to love those who persecute us. And I'm struggling with this, as I'm sure you are too. But I also think that we have enemies even closer to home, beyond just those global threats. I think, if we're honest, we have enemies in our workplaces, or at our schools, or in our neighborhoods, down the street, across the street, local businesses maybe that we're competing with, maybe even in our own families. We might not call them enemies exactly and wish them dead, but we definitely have some less than loving thoughts and wishes for those folks deep inside our hearts, if we're honest. Maybe even on our lips as we talk about them to our friends, to those we like. Jesus is speaking to this too, this day. Remember, we start to see with Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and especially in the Gospel of Matthew, we start to see with Jesus that he cares about what's going on the inside, not just your external actions. So you might follow all the rules and the laws, but what Jesus is concerned about in the Sermon on the Mount is, remember who's blessed? The pure in heart. Jesus cares about what's happening on the inside. And if your heart is full of hatred, even if your actions are just holier than anyone, but if your heart is full of hatred and plans for retaliation and getting even and bitterness and anger, I think it's safe to say that you're not blessed. Not because God doesn't love you. God deeply loves you and wants the opposite for you. But when your heart is full of hatred, you are not blessed. You are not happy, which is another way that some Bibles translate that word blessed in the Sermon on the Mount. Happy are those who are pure in heart. Happy are those who are not weighed down with anger. That's true, isn't it? Know anybody like that? Someone who doesn't carry? I mean, we all carry anger at some level in our hearts. And that's the prayer for us this morning, as it always is. We join hands and sing the Lord's Prayer. Help us with forgiveness. Help us to forgive others. But do you know anybody who is pure in heart, who just is able to carry themselves and be forgiving people? I certainly do. And what's interesting to me is I think about those folks. I mean, I don't know lots of them. But I certainly do know some people who are very loving people, and they don't carry and harbor anger and this, you know, retaliation deep inside their hearts. And one of the things I noticed as I thought about them this week is they have very deep spiritual lives. They meditate all the time. They pray all the time. They're quiet all the time. So that's interesting. Jesus, very strong and very challenging, and I'm afraid very clear message for us today. Love your enemies. I mean, the children get that. Oh, it's a very strong, clear teaching today, and yet I think it is once again a gift to us. It wraps Jesus' whole powerful Sermon on the Mount up. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's tying it back to the very beginning where all this started. Blessed are the pure in heart. Jesus, who loved his enemies, loves us too. We have been met by this countercultural Jesus this morning in this place. Maybe for the first time today, but looking out, knowing you all, I know you've met this Jesus many, many times before. In water and in the Holy Meal, in the words of Scripture and through our relationships with one another. We've met Jesus before, and Jesus hasn't given up on us. Thanks be to God. He comes to be among us again this Sunday to challenge us. He comes to be among us again this day and calls us into a new place to hear a word we've heard before, but hear it perhaps with new ears. Love your enemies. Resist the need to retaliate, to return evil for evil. Martin Luther King Jr. has become an icon, certainly for the black community in our nation. He has, in his own life, he was a public figure in so many ways, but how we often can forget that he was also a deeply religious person. We know just from documents and his own writings how much time he spent in prayer and meditation. And he centered his whole life and teaching on Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. I'd encourage you this week, it's easy to find on the internet, but I'm also happy to get you copies and resources if you'd like. Take a look at how Martin Luther King Jr. hears this chapter 5 in Matthew's Gospel, particularly this passage about loving your enemies. This is a man who grew up with white supremacists throwing bricks through his living room window. Imagine, a little boy having these bricks and fire and threats. And that was just the beginning of his life. We know how his life ended, with assassination and hatred. And yet through his entire life, he struggled with Jesus' words. So this isn't easy stuff. He preached loving your enemies. And like any practitioner of nonviolence, he tells us that it is not a project for the faint-hearted. Jesus is calling us into a different way of being. There's nothing new, frankly, about loving your friends and hating your enemies, he says. That's a strong word for us, by the way, as church, as we think about our vision and our mission for the world, because how much we love being with our friends in these places. But what sets us apart from just any great social club is that we're called to something new. We're called to be a light for the world, salt of the earth. Even the tax collectors love their friends and hate their enemies. That's nothing new. What's new is loving your enemies and going the extra mile. By the way, just to put that in a little context, in that period of time, any Roman soldier could conscript a civilian to carry their weapons for a mile. It was commonplace. So when Jesus said that, everybody knew what going the extra mile meant. It was literal. You carry their things for a mile, or you suffer the consequences of saying no to a Roman centurion. So everybody did this. If you were conscripted, you know, you could, able-bodied, you could do this. But Jesus is saying, go another mile. Go the extra mile. Now that's something different. That brings followers of Jesus to shine, to light up. That's something new. And he's not saying love your enemies and hate your friends. He's not reversing the statement, of course. If you love your enemies, how much more will you love those who are closest to you? God loves us as we struggle through this perhaps most challenging passage in all of Scripture. We need to remember that today too. God loves us through this struggle. I really wish that word perfect was not used as the translation for the Greek word teleos. Be perfect, it said in our last verse, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. I mean, I'm pretty much ready to shut off at that point because obviously I'm not perfect. Obviously you're not perfect. We can't do that. So that word throws us off. Really, what the word is saying is much richer and much more involved. It means to be mature and complete. It means to be a whole person. To use words from the Old Testament lesson that Kevin read, to be holy. That's not perfect. We're not perfect. But be holy. Be healthy. Be a person who is pure in heart. Be a loving person, Jesus is saying, just like your Father in heaven is loving. Be someone who's not weighed down with anger and vitriol and the need to get back at everyone who has wronged them. It also means don't roll over and let others roll over you either. Turning the other cheek. I'm not going to go into the details, but there's some great research about what that means. And it's not a statement of, oh, you're going to hit me? Go ahead and hit me again. Just keep banging me into the ground. No, rather, it's, without going into it, it's a gesture of standing up for yourself. Turning the other cheek. Be a person who stands up for yourself. And be a person who stands up for others. Be a person who does what is good and what is right, even as your Father in heaven is good and right. Be teleos. Today we get a booster shot, sisters and brothers in Christ. Today we get a booster shot. And like we try to explain to our kids, they don't get that that's a loving thing that we do for them. Katie had a booster shot a little while ago. And she screamed at the nurse. You're mean, she said. You're mean. She looked right at the nurse with tears in her eyes and said, you're mean. It's hard to understand that we do this. We hear this This is out of love. God gives us these difficult words today. Love your enemies. It stings like a shot. It pinches. And if we never thought we needed God's help before, boy, we sure need it now with this one. Help us love our enemies, gracious God. Help us, Jesus. Show us, Jesus, how to do this very difficult thing. And unlike the nurse, God love him, who gives the shot and then walks out of the room, we don't see her or him again until the next time it's time to get a shot. This is not our God. Jesus stays with us through it all, even as we cry and struggle. Through that moment when we're facing our latest enemy, whoever that is, whatever that is, Christ is right by our side. Jesus, who has forgiven us, helps us with forgiveness. Jesus, who has loved us, helps us with love, helps us to love others. Jesus, who himself has had nasty words and the most unspeakable actions hurled at him, helps us when we have nasty words and actions hurled at us. Christ is with us as we go out into this world that is filled with the usual: hatred, greed, retaliation, bitterness. Christ is with us as we seek to find ways to be salt and light for this world, to shine and do something different as we struggle to learn what that looks like in our time and place. For remember how this whole thing got started. Blessed are you. Amen.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.